On Tech News Today, Comcast doesn't tell customers they got hacked. Teens get a Ring wearable computer, and the Flappy Bird game flaps no more. All that and more coming up next.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
It's Monday, February 10th, 2014, and this is Tech News Today. This episode is brought to you by RingCentral, the cloud-based phone system we use here at Twit. And it just got better with the launch of Meetings, the first full-service video conferencing feature. RingCentral starts at under $25 per month per user with zero startup costs. Try it now with a 30-day risk-free trial. Buy one desk phone and get a second phone free up to 20 phones. Call 800-543-9980 or visit ringcentral.com and use the promo code TWIT. And by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your used gadgets. Find out what your used iPhone, iPad, and other Apple products are worth at gazelle.com. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Mike Elgin.
I'm Sarah Lane.
And I'm Jason Howell.
Tech News Today explores the top tech news in 30 minutes or less. Well, we have a quick alert before we get to the rest of the news. Comcast's mail servers were hacked on February 5th. The hacker group Null Crew FTS posted the details of their exploit on Pastebin for 24 hours, along with a list of Comcast's mail servers. During that time, Comcast reportedly didn't tell customers, and that enabled any hacker visiting the Pastebin site to have their way with Comcast's servers. And in fact, users reported slowdowns, crashes, and other problems during that time. Comcast customers have not been told to change passwords, so that's what we're doing here. Everyone, if you're a Comcast customer, change your password.
Yeah, Comcast, what's the problem?
Yeah, this is
only going to make it worse on themselves.
That's right. This is a terrible idea for them to leave this leave their servers vulnerable. The only defense, I guess, is if they didn't know, and that's not a very good defense. So this is bad customer.
Companies have said, not Comcast specifically, but in the past, that when accused of staying quiet for too long, it's because the company's trying to figure out what was going on. So right. We didn't want to alert anybody until we knew what actually was breached, what kind of data has been stolen. But I think it proves time and time again that silence just makes you look incompetent and insecure.
That's right. So make sure you change your password. Well, we accelerated to the top of the show this next story. It's about a startup called RingBlings. And the reason we put it to the top of the show is that one of the co-founders actually stepped away from a presentation she was making at NYU just to do this show, and then she's going to be going back. We're going to be revealing this product for the first time anywhere that I'm aware of. So this product is actually a wearable computing device for teenagers. RingBlings is a ring that connects to a smartphone with Bluetooth Low Energy, and it also comes with an iOS or Android app, and users can customize the color and pattern of blinking lights on the ring to show notifications and other information. So joining us is Jeannie Mullen, who is a co-founder at RingBlings. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Very excited to be here.
So can we see the ring?
Get right to it.
You can see a version of the ring. It's kind of a preview version. This will not be the final ring that goes out to market. Oh, looks like I'm actually getting a text right now from Bill, one of our other co-founders. So let me put the ring down. But RingBlings, we've created a number of rings from fashionable outside party rings like the one that you've seen that was actually worn in a fashion show this week at the Raul Panaranda Fashion Show at New York Fashion Week, all the way down to more utility-based rings, which are a little bit less beautiful, but definitely have the same capability to connect you to people who are trying to get in touch if they matter to you. And it allows you to filter through all of the messages that you receive on a daily basis and just be notified by the people that matter.
Well, I understand that you're taking pre-orders in March. When will the ring ship and how much will it cost?
That's a great question. So we will be launching officially on March 8th at a demo day that the RGA Accelerator is helping coordinate, and we are one of 10 companies in the accelerator. The product will go live for pre-orders as early as March 8th, and they'll be shipping within a few weeks from that date.
It's kind of a controversial area of wearable computing, which is that, you know, some of the high definition, more sophisticated devices like Google Glass or even other devices that are more expensive and more complicated than Google Glass, as well as big, bulky watches from Samsung and other vendors. They're powerful, but they're also kind of bulky, conspicuous, and expensive. The other school of thought is where you guys are, which is that you can go low cost and less bulky, although that's a pretty big ring, by using blinking lights. There's another product called the Ion Glasses, which is a smart glasses that takes a similar approach, which has colored blinking lights that you can customize. Do you really think that this the blinking lights interface is going to be acceptable to a lot of consumers?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting because we have the option to do blinking lights as well as a vibration. And in all the focus groups we've done with teens and college age students, what they've told us is that during the day when they're at class or when they're at church or when they're somewhere at a gymnastics meet or something else, they're probably going to want the notification to be subtle, more of a custom vibration. But when they're out with their friends in the afternoon or the evening, or they're at an event or, you know, a party, they definitely want the lights to be blinking. So we think it's going to be a customizable solution that people will integrate into their lifestyle.
How do you account for all the different sizes of people's fingers?
That's a really great question. You know, we've got it down to, you know, between sizes 5 and 8, and the ring will come out with some adjustable elements inside. This is what you saw was our larger kind of what we call fashion ring. We've got smaller rings that that fit nicely as well. And this is the first in a product line. So what we saw as soon as we started to take the rings out to market was that there was a demand not only by teenagers, but also for men as well and teenage boys and people who were looking for something that was just as fashionable as it was technologically savvy. So, you know, this is just the beginning of what we see to be unlimited potential for the way that notifications systems can integrate with technology and take a conversation out of the device and onto, you know, someone's fingertips.
Well, Jeannie, thank you so much for stepping away from your presentation to be on the show today. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, and very excited and thrilled that you invited us to be on today. This is such a great deal for us, and we see the market in wearables exploding, and we're happy to be, you know, first to market with this product.
Thanks again. You can find Jeannie Mullen at Jeannie Mullen on Twitter. That's Jeannie Mullen, Mullen. And also you can find the product at Ringblings, that's RingBlingz.com. Well, we're going to find out about the depressing fate of Flappy Bird in just a second. But first, I want to tell you about Ring Central. When we built the studio here at TWIT, we chose to do as much as we could through the cloud. And we didn't want a big old PBX system. Those are the big, expensive, difficult to manage phone systems that so many companies have and have had for so long. So when we decided to go cloud-based with the phone system, Ring Central was kind of an obvious choice for us. We love Ring Central because it has zero startup costs, no PBX hardware to install or maintain, which saves us a lot of time, money, and headaches. And now Ring Central has meetings. So in addition to all that we love about Ring Central, the receiving voicemails through email, the sending and receiving fax messages from our smartphones, and the auto receptionist who greets our callers and announces employees and department extensions. Now with meetings, we can host face-to-face meetings in high def and share desktop documents with anyone, anytime, anywhere, on any device. Meetings makes RingCentral the single best business solution on the market today. RingCentral offers an all-inclusive prices under $25 per month per user, and you can start right now with a 30-day risk-free trial. And they have a special offer for listeners of Tech News Today. When you buy one desk phone, you get a second phone free up to 20 phones. So call this number, 800-543-9980. That's 800-543-9980. Or you can go to ringcentral.com and use the promo code TWIT. And we thank Ring Central for their sponsorship of Tech News Today.
Over the weekend, the developer of Flappy Bird, everyone's favorite app, Dong Nguyen, tweeted that he was going to be removing the game from the App Store. And a lot of people thought, oh, what is this? Is this some sort of a show thing, see how many downloads you can get because you're threatening to get rid of it? No. Actually, he really did. Flappy Bird has been the number one downloaded free app in the, at least, Apple App Store for almost a month. It was averaging $50,000 per day in revenue from in-app ads. But today's the day that Flappy Bird no longer shows up in search or the developer's app listing or in the top free games. And it's weird because it sounds like, and it, There's only some tweets to go by, but the developer was like, this is just, I'm getting too much attention.
Yeah.
It's too much of a thing, this meme. I didn't want any of this from the game. I guess the money doesn't matter. He just feels hassled by life.
He's got a lot to learn about being a greedy capitalist.
Exactly.
And, you know, if it were me, I would have, if it was too much to handle, I would have, you know, gone to South Africa. Like, what was the comedian who did that? Dave Chappelle. Or yeah. I would have gone to Club Med and just, like, you know, crushed my cell phone and just lived off the $50,000 a day.
Yeah, you would think you'd be like, well, you don't go on Twitter. Then you don't have to see all the out replies about Flappy Bird. Change your phone number. $50,000 a day seems like a pretty good trade-off. He also says, for anybody thinking, ooh, maybe there's more to the story, he says it's not a legal issue. He also says he's not interested in selling the game. He just doesn't want it to exist anymore. I guess money isn't an incentive enough. Although, Jason Calacanis on Twitter actually just tweeted that the Flappy Bird inspired games, those are very hot right now. In the top 100 are Fly Birdie, Flappy Bee, Flying Floppy Unicorn, Fluffy versus Flappy, and Flappy Plane. That's the new big thing since, you know, the birds are
Flying
birds are
Floppy
out.
Unicorn sounds like a compelling title. What do you think? I'm going to have to look that up.
What's interesting about this, though, is from a support standpoint, right? You have one guy that created a game that suddenly gets millions upon millions of downloads. Think about how many contacts through both of the app stores, both Android App Store and the iTunes App Store, that he's getting regularly. Just to give support to people, when you're talking about millions upon millions of people, that's undoable for one person. That's quite a lot of pressure. I have to imagine that's part of this.
Well, Yahoo is partnering with Yelp to improve local results. Yelp reviews and listings will show up as results in Yahoo searches going forward, starting in a few weeks. With us to talk about this is Douglas McMillan, who is a San Francisco-based technology reporter for The Wall Street Journal. Thank you for joining us, Douglas.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
So you reported that Yahoo's 2010 search deal with Microsoft has been a disappointment for Yahoo. You said that in your article yesterday. In what way has this been a disappointment?
Well, basically, Yahoo decided to exit kind of the core web search technology several years ago under Marissa Meyer's predecessor, Carol Bartz. They struck a deal with Microsoft to essentially provide the core search results. When you type in a search in Yahoo, those results are being powered by Microsoft. But Marissa Meyer has seen her opportunity here to innovate around those search results, the way that they're presented, maybe pulling other elements from the internet. And this deal with Yelp is sort of part of her strategy to differentiate Yahoo's search by adding other pieces of content from around the internet. So when you go on Yahoo now, you're going to see, and you search for a local bar or a restaurant in your neighborhood, or maybe a town that you're visiting, you're going to see reviews and listings powered by people from Yelp. So yes, Marissa is not really happy with the way that the Microsoft deal has been going. It's been underperforming in terms of revenue. This is her opportunity or one of her part of her strategy to kind of boost those results and try to get people more excited about the Yahoo search experience.
It seems to me that Yahoo seems to spend, every Yahoo announcement seems to be that they're buying a company or they're partnering with some other company for technology or for the data. And I'm wondering if this strategy is really working. I mean, do they really build anything? I know that Marissa Meyer wanted to hire something like 50 PhDs last year and really boost the research and development of new products. But where are these new products?
So they've been releasing a few new mobile apps. They got a lot of credit for a really slick-looking weather app that they came out with last year. They more recently came out with a Yahoo News Digest, which is a way to summarize the news. Okay. Mostly right. Most of the new products they've been shipping have been sort of updates on the core Yahoo properties like Flickr, Yahoo Finance, Yahoo News. Mostly they've been giving these kind of a facelift or a refresh. I think you're going to start to see more products rolling out maybe towards the end of this year and into next year, because what's going to happen soon with Yahoo is that Alibaba is going to IPO. And when Alibaba IPOs, Yahoo's stake in Alibaba is going to sell, and Yahoo is going to have all this cash to invest in more innovations. But more importantly, Yahoo's stock ticker is finally going to reflect, you know, what Marissa Meyer is doing and what Yahoo is. Because right now, a lot of traders and people who own Yahoo stock are basically investing on the promise of Alibaba. So I think once Marissa's under pressure to really, you know, show Wall Street what she's doing and where she is in this turnaround, you're going to start seeing more kind of innovation and perhaps more kind of fruits of these acquisitions and these investments that you were mentioning.
So you're pretty optimistic about Yahoo's prospects going forward?
I think it remains to be seen. You hear mixed things about the company. I think that she's definitely the new CEO, engineering-focused product CEO, has definitely breathed a new life and kind of a new hope inside the organization. But there are people coming and going, and you hear mixed things as well. So I think maybe, towards the end of this year or next year, you're going to start to see people starting to really judge whether Marissa's turnaround is working.
Well, thank you, Douglas, for coming on the show today to tell us about this. And I really appreciated your story. It was a great story. So thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
You can find Douglas McMillan at DMAC1 on Twitter.
Well, we've got a new tablet. I was going to say notebook, and I was like, that's not what I'm talking about. Tablets. Asus's VivoTab Note 8, which is an 8-inch Windows 8.1 tablet with support for a Wacom pen input, has gone live in Microsoft's U.S. store. It's the 32-gigabyte model anyway. We saw a 64 earlier at CES. That doesn't appear to be available. The 32-gigabyte model is going for $329, a little higher than what it was quoted at CES. It was $299 back in January. But my question is, do we even have room in our hearts for another tablet? And the reason I ask that question is because Zal Bilimoria, who's a partner over at venture capital firm Andreessen Horowitz, wrote an opinion piece over the weekend, which was published by Recode, that consumers are losing interest in tablets altogether. And he pointed to, he worked at Netflix for some time and Microsoft before that, pointed to a variety of challenges, particularly at Netflix, that showed even though when Netflix had an iPad app that came out initially, and of course, this is sort of the early days where really the iPad was the only tablet to beat. At first, there was a lot of attention. It won like a design award. And then over time, he noticed that with binge watching of things like House of Cards, Orange is the New Black, that the iPhone usage was skyrocketing and the iPad usage was waning. And he says that it kind of applies to tablets in general, not just anything iOS, but the fact that the tablet is sort of that middle ground, not quite a laptop, but not really mobile either.
Well, part of the problem for tablets is that phones keep getting so much better. The screens are so awesome. And if you're going to, lay in the bed and hold up a device, a phone can be easier. People are watching all over the place, not just in their living room or in their homes. They're watching while they're walking around sometimes, and phones are, of course, better than that. The other problem with tablets is the urgency to upgrade your tablet, and this doesn't speak to the Netflix consumption or consumption of content, but to the sales.
Mm-hmm.
You buy a tablet, if you bought an iPhone 4 a few years ago, it's still perfectly good. I mean, it's like tablets they're not like phones where you really want to upgrade every year or every other year. They last for a long time. They work fine. It's a screen. And as long as it's a good screen, then you're not going to keep buying it. I think tablets are here to stay. I don't think people are going to stop using them. I just think they're never going to get anywhere near smartphones in terms of sales or in terms of content consumption.
I think the big issue, and by the way, there have been a lot of dissenting opinions about, people saying, you're crazy, the tablet market is just getting started. But as Bilimoria notes, only 12% of tablets, all tablets, have cellular connections. Now, if you don't have a cellular connection, then you always have to think about, am I going to have Wi-Fi? Is this the airport where I have to pay for it? This and that. I have a cellular connection with my iPad, and it's one of these things that, you don't even think about it. Honestly don't think about it. It acts more like a phone, just with that connection that is always on. And when you've got 12% of tablets with cellular connections, ooh, my math is pretty bad. 88% don't, mm-hmm. And that isn't really a mobile device.
No, it isn't. And Mark Zuckerberg, CEO of Facebook, said years ago that tablets are not mobile devices, and it was controversial at the point at the time. But his point was that, people use them around the house. They might bring them somewhere and use them somewhere, but they're not mobile in the sense that a smartphone is mobile. They don't carry them around and use them on the go as much. They're mostly a couch device. People like to use them while for social networking, while they're watching TV and things like that. Maybe you read something, maybe watch something. But they're still, after all these years, after 4 years now almost 4 years since the first iPad came out. They're still kind of a weird device that, you know, they're an interim device, like you said, and, you know, they're not as immediately usable as smartphones are, and probably never will
be. Well, we'll see how many of the Asus new Windows tablets they sell, and then maybe I'll eat my words.
Well, the United Arab Emirates government plans to test flying drones to deliver packages. Yes, sounds familiar, right? Amazon talked about this earlier last year. Here's the crazy part. The drones will feature retina scanners and fingerprint readers to authenticate people accepting packages, according to Reuters. The idea is that the government is going to use drones to deliver official documents like passports and driver's licenses and other things like that instead of the mail. Why they're doing this probably has a lot more to do with the fact that the UAE government is kind of a showboating. They like big publicity stunts. I always thought this is just a terrible idea, an absolutely terrible, terrible idea. It doesn't seem efficient. It seems vaguely dangerous.
Yeah.
It just seems like a horror. You know, you don't want like flying rotator blades out there deployed at scale.
Also, I mean, is the mail system horribly crippled in? I'm not sure that the flying drones make a lot more sense. I mean, if you see a drone flying through the air, aren't you all that more concerned with, ooh, maybe there's an interesting document. Let me shoot down the drone and take it from the person who was intended for.
Right. Shooting down drones is it's a hobby. You know, everybody needs a hobby. And I just, you know, again, this is yet another drone-based. Remember somebody was going to deliver dry cleaning by drone. You can have this plastic bag with the clothes hanging from the drone, pizza, beer. Like, we've just seen one publicity stunt after another. I think this is the first one by a government, though, a national government. So that is just plain weird. Well, we're going to tell you about yet another Flappy Bird clone, probably the best one there is. But first, I want to tell you about Gazelle. Gazelle is a site that will buy your used iPad, iPhone, or other gadget and give you really good money for it. And they make it super, super easy for you to sell your stuff to them. So if you want a new iPad, you want a new iPhone, you want to upgrade your device, I'm a big believer in upgrading early and often with my devices because I like to have the latest and greatest device. And if you're watching this show, chances are you feel the same way. And Gazelle is the way to do it because they'll give you money that will you can use to fund your next purchase. Just go to gazelle.com, that's G-A-Z-E-L-L-E.com, find the item that you'd like to sell, put in the condition, whether it's in good condition, bad condition, whatever. They'll even buy broken iPhones and iPads, and they'll give you a price. That price is locked in for 30 days, so you can send it in later, and they'll honor the price that they quoted to you. They'll pay you fast by check, PayPal, or if you use the Amazon gift card option, they'll pay you 5% more. So that's probably the best option, certainly the one that I use. Payment is fast, as I said, offers are good for 30 days, and Gazelle will even wipe your data. So if you have personal data on the device that you send in, Gazelle will erase it permanently so nobody can ever get access to your personal data. Gazelle's paid more than $100 million to over 700,000 customers. Most items even qualify for a free box. So find out what your iPhone is worth. Take a minute and go to gazelle.com to find out. Do it now because your iPhone may lose value the longer you wait. Well, we said in a recent show that the restaurant reservation service OpenTable is no longer supported by Apple's Siri. But a viewer named Jacob points out that OpenTable, in fact, was added back to Siri more than a year ago. So we thank Jacob for that correction.
Back to speaking out my reservation requests.
That's right.
That's good. I actually have never tried that. Yeah. So this is it's like a duh tip that I just found out about. So thank you, Jacob. We did mention that Flappy Bird appears to be dead and gone for now anyway. But don't worry because Flappy Doge can fill the void in your life. Flappy Doge is exactly what it sounds like. It's a browser game. It plays like Flappy Bird, but with the digital currency world's favorite Shiba Inu puppies. It's free, and it doesn't have any ads, so you can...
I'm not very good at it. Yeah. I'm not very good at Flappy Birds. I wouldn't imagine that I would be good at Flappy Doge either. I can't even get one.
Yeah, it's infuriating. See, this is how it starts. Yep. This is how it starts.
You just want to get one. That's why. Hey.
There you go. Ooh. Oh, yeah.
No. Okay. You just got one. That's well, awesome. We have some news in tech news tonight. Sarah is going to be taking over tech news tonight, our 4 p.m. Pacific
it's
newscast.
It's true.
Every day.
I am. Yeah, Mike and I decided to divide and conquer you all by sort of anchoring the morning and the evening shows. And we hope that you all like the changes as well. And if you don't watch tech news tonight, we're live at 4 every day, Monday through Friday. So do check me out later.
Absolutely.
Effective immediately.
Absolutely. And you did Tech News Today for what? More than 3.5 years, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, Tech News Today has been, we've had several iterations of the show. I'm looking over at Jason. Jason, I don't even remember when you came over, but it was.
It was about 3 or 4 months after the launch of the show.
There you go.
Somewhere around there.
Yeah. It's a wonderful show, and I look forward to the next chapter.
I'm looking forward to Tech News Tonight with you anchoring as well.
Well, thank you.
And of course, we will be working together on breaking news as well. Well, that's our show. Make sure you send your news tips to our email address at tnt@twit.tv or call 260-TNT-SHOW and leave a message. Also, post and upvote your favorite stories on our subreddit at technewstoday.reddit.com and find the rest of our social pages by searching for Tech News Today on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, and YouTube. If you haven't already, please subscribe to Tech News Today at twit.tv/TNT. Thanks again for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow.